glad that each one of you are here. You may be seated. We're just going to honor them, and then we're going to go ahead into our worship.
We had a little write-up. I hope you got a bulletin. Amen. And, oh, this is working out good. We're going to start with Alexis. Alexis N. Gish, right here in the beautiful red. Yes. Amen.
Yay!
Alexis is a 2019 graduate from Newcastle High School, graduating with honors. Amen. She is the daughter of Jason and Tiffany Gish, which her mom is here. Amen. She was a six-year member of Student Council, served as Vice President and National Honor Society member for 4 years. What an accomplishment. In the fall, Lexi will be attending Slippery Rock University to study early education with dual certification in special education and international qualification, along with a dual minor in ethics and social work. The recipient of PA Junior Academy of Science 5-year award, woohoo, Board of Governors scholarship, and 8 independent academic scholarships, allowing for full tuition paid.
You go, girl.
Amen. And Alexis would like to thank all that have helped to shape her into the woman she is today. Amen. I remember when she was, you came here when you were like 12, and I remember you and just full of energy and bubbly, and you've stuck with us, and you've been a part of this ministry, and we're so honored to see you start the new phase of your life. Huh? Amen. Next, we have Autumn Rez O'Neill. She's joined our fellowship in the last couple years, and she's come with her buddy Aaron over here. Amen. And it's an honor to have her with us, and she's just a sweet, sweet young woman. Amen. But she is a 2019 graduate from Laurel High School, graduating with honors also. Amen. While attending Laurel, she took part in many clubs and activities. She most loved her time spent in the life skills classroom as a peer side. She will be joining Circuit Riders, a group of young adults who believe that God is working up a revival in America.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
In the fall, she will be moving to California to further attend training and then setting out across the United States to share the joy and the love of Jesus at colleges and high schools. Amen. What an honor. Amen. It's been a pleasure having you.
Yes.
Amen. And we wish you nothing but the best. Amen. And then we have Christopher James Boucher the second. And he started attending maybe 2 months ago. And it's been nice to have him part of our fellowship. Amen. Kristen and Christopher, they're friends, and they attended Laurel. So he is a 2019 graduate from Laurel High School, son of Tori Osmond and Christopher Boucher Jr. And in the fall, he will be attending Butler Community College and will be studying computer science and programming. And we'd like to welcome his family that is here. We know... it takes a community, amen, and families to raise a child and support them and make sure they go to school and make sure they have their whatever they need, amen, especially when they start kindergarten and then the grade schools, and your parents buy you things and they make sure you have the backpacks, and, you know, so you're always supporting them. So it's nice to have the families here, amen. And then we have Amelia. Amelia Lynn Cyrus, a 2019 pre-K graduate. Amen.
Yay!
She's the daughter of Matthew and Lindsay Cyrus. They're up here, yes. She enjoys cheering for Miss Dana's Diamonds and looking forward to being a cheerleader. In the fall, she will be attending Springfield Elementary School as a kindergartner. Woohoo!
Hey.
And class, how can this be? The class of 2032.
That's a long way.
That's a little, But graduates, this is a special time, and just take it all in, amen. And you're here to be honored and blessed. As most of you, some of you graduated last night. You graduated today, and Amelia, you've passed your pre-K. Amen. And it's such an honor to bless you. Amen. So I'll turn it over to Pastor Chris. Amen. To do the rest. And Janie can come up because she is the youth leader of these young adults. Amen.
If I talk, I'll cry. And y'all know me, and I don't cry. I laugh. So I'm just so proud. Love you too.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have a blessing for each one of you. Come on, I want you to stand up. Come on, I want you to come up here. Look after the people. Come on. Amelia, come on over here. Amelia, come on. I want you all to stand up here. Turn around. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You hold this one. Amen. Now I want to pray for each one of those, a blessing upon them and God's guidance and direction. This isn't always an easy time in your life because there's a lot of decision things that we go through. Come on, amen. There's sometimes there are uncomfortable moments, but we're praying God's strength, amen, because He says that He is with us and to be strong and be courageous. So I'm going to place that upon them, amen. The courageousness and the anointing that I have, come on, to plow through, I'm going to begin to declare it over their lives, amen. So I want you all to agree with me, amen, as I begin to pray for each one of these. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray, hallelujah, right now, God, Lord. Ask to God, Lord, that your hand be upon her. Come on, just want you to lift up your hands and to receive, hallelujah, all that you have, God. I pray to God, Lord, that she continues to walk as she has before, as she continues to, God, Lord, to press to God, Lord, to the high calling that's in her life, God. And Lord, I pray that she'll set the example and the tone in the school, hallelujah. Those around won't influence her, but she'll influence them. She will be the difference in the mold, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray for guidance and protection in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for Christopher, God. Lord, I ask your hand. I pray for your guidance upon him, God. I pray to God, Lord, that you just give him peace, God, as he begins to take this new adventure, God, Lord, as he steps out in a new start to God, Lord, in all he has. I pray to God, Lord, your blessing upon him and guidance, God, Lord, just direct his mind and his thinking and all that he does. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, I ask to God, Lord, for direction. I pray to God, Lord, as she goes forth to God, Lord, to the other side of the state to God, Lord. I pray that, God, Lord, the anointing that she has in her will increase. Hallelujah. Yes. It'll increase every time as she sits there and as she begins to go out after the training. I pray to God, Lord, that that anointing that's in her doubles. Hallelujah. Doubles. Doubles in Jesus' name. I thank you. Lord, I just pray, God, Lord, for Amelia. I ask to God, Lord, as you guide her and direct her, I pray to God, Lord, is the shyness that she has to God, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that within her, that it begins to roar. Hallelujah. That anointing that's in her roars, God, Lord, for the faithfulness of her parents to God, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that she begins to, Lord, just be that example and be a leader to those around her in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, one more time. Amen. Come on, amen. Let's bless the Lord as we worship. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. I feel like I got a word of encouragement to every one of you. Do you believe that? I got a lot pent up in me because I wasn't allowed to get off that stool last week because of my knee. But the leash is off. Nah, I'm going to be... I mean that with all my heart as I said that. Hallelujah. I want you to look to your neighbor and tell them there's more to the story. Come on, tell someone else there's more to the story. You ain't telling somebody. Come on, you ain't telling somebody. There's more to the story. Hallelujah. Let it be told. I'm here to tell you there's more to the story. Come on. Not everything that you see, not everything that you think it's going to be this way. I want you to know there's more to the story. Hallelujah. When we begin to let God be God in our life, there's more to the story. Hallelujah. Sometimes we see things in snippets. Come on, in our lives. I want you to know that sometimes we see things in part. And not the full layout like God does. We serve a God that knows the end from the beginning. And He says, put your life in My hands. I created the stars, the earth, the moon, everything that's around you, for you. The involvement that God desires in our lives, it's a choice. And everything that we do, every moment that we make, the good times and the bad times, every one of us go through good times and bad things. But I want you to know that when God's in the midst of it, hallelujah, there's more to the story. I began to think about Joseph. I began to think about his story. I began to think about how that he found himself in a pit. It wasn't the full story, but it was a scene of the story. And there was something with Joseph that he knew there was more to the story. I want this to get in your soul and your spirit. And I want it to begin to resonate within you. That you know there's more to the story. Hallelujah. Don't let that moment define you. He didn't put the dirt over his head. And sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes you want to cover yourself up and go on. But Joseph chose, hallelujah, to say, I serve a God that knows all things. He knows I'm in this pit. He knows where I'm at. Sometimes you feel like you're in a pit and it wasn't any of your doing. But He knows, hallelujah. He knows where you are. And God brought him out of that pit. He found himself in a prison. He found himself, why? Because somebody accused him of something that he did not do. They didn't know the full story. Sometimes you might not know the full story of somebody's lives. Come on, amen. It might be just the scene. Don't judge them by the scene. I'm going to say it again. Don't judge them by the scene that you see. Because we serve a God, hallelujah, that moves and has His being. If we open our hearts to Him and let Him do His thing. Amen. So I want you to see that Joseph did that. Could have changed a very dramatic way. But he chose in the midst of a prison to say, it's just a scene. Come on, amen. It's just a scene. It's not my whole story. And he found his way out. And at the end of his life, God brought it all back together again. His family that broke his heart were restored. God used him to deliver a nation, to be involved in a nation, to be a leader of a nation. Because he let God be part of it. He became, let God become part of his story. And because of it, God became a part of his story. I want you to hear that. God created you. He created you. He created you. He made the trees. He made all these things have purpose and design. You're part of his design. You're part of his purpose. You're part of his plan that God wants to reveal to you and each one of you. Part of the scene. Thank you, praise team. I can keep going with them. Let's create an atmosphere. Amen. Listen, but I want to look real quick. And Joshua, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to try to do this. I honestly say I'm trying to do this quickly. Say amen to me. But the walls, we won't hold back God. Amen. I just want to share just a man about Joshua. And we had a good time at the baccalaureate. God let me be able to be there involved with the baccalaureate. And I delivered a message to these young people. And I just thank God for the opportunity. Amen. I thank God. When I'm there, you're there. Come on. Amen. When I'm there. Whether you weren't there or not. Amen. I was there. And I represented each one of you too. I want you to know that. I feel that with all my heart. But I want you to see here, and I want you to know that the story of Joshua, and this is not where I'm going, but I want you to open with this. I want you to know that Joshua was at a place where that God let him go from one place. He went from taking over what Moses started, that he came to a place where that he was moving, and God became part of his story. Amen. At 40 years old, It ain't too late. Come on, amen. It ain't too, yeah, any of you 40 or and above? I'm almost there, so I'm just wait. Jane, you know. So I want you to see here that he was beginning to, it would come to the end. He was 110 years old when he died, when he passed away. So there was a lot in between in this story that God became a part of. And there was another generation that never experienced it. They needed to know what his story was. Come on, amen. He needed to know his story. We can all read it today. We can all see this. But I want you to see the importantness of us carrying and delivering our story and having a story for a generation. Amen. You have a story that needs to be told. You remember that song? Let your circle be unbroken. Come on, some of you know that hymn. Let the circle again. By and by, Lord, by and by. I don't know the rest, but you get my point that it doesn't stop. Amen. But the circle doesn't break. Come on, amen. I want you to know that the next generation is going to know of his exploits. And this generation knew it. And Joshua was at that place. And he began to write it down. Come on, say write it down. He began to write it down. He began to put it upon a stone. And he began to place it at a place where that each one of them could read about the stories because they didn't know about the stories. I want you to know it's important for you to declare what God has done. Amen. It's important for you to declare. They can see it in other areas in the earth and in nature because God's all over. He's going to show up. But I want you to know that whenever they begin to hear your story, it's encouraging that you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. So he began to write the story. He began to talk about how that he crossed the Jordan and how that he came across Jericho and he faced an impenetrable wall. And God chose to use the praise team instead of the army. That's a pretty good story to tell your children. That I trusted God in the midst of this. That couldn't explain it. Couldn't define how this was going to turn out. But I trusted God. He began to tell about that story. He began to tell about the battles that they faced. And how that God said the things that he said. And everything that God said that they would do, they did. Come on, amen. They did all that God said that they would do. And he carried that story. And he shared it with those ones that were with him. I want us to realize that we have a story. Don't just stop at a scene, but finish the story. God's writing a story, a praise song with your lies that others will sing. Amen? Let's look at 2 Kings. This is my text. This is where I'm coming from. Say, he's getting there. Listen, we participate. We're part of this together. Amen? This ain't a one-man show. This is a body. Say, it's a body. You're going to get a workout. I'm going to start at the end of the story here. Because I think it's important. This is in 2 Kings 8. Don't get comfortable there. Get ready to go to 2 Kings 4. And it says, I want you to see that this woman, the Shunammite woman, she was at a place where that she came from a famine. She was told to go. To leave the city because there was a famine coming. And she left everything. She obeyed the word of God. She moved beyond where she was. And at the end when she came back, I don't want to give the whole thing a say, but she came back and everything she had was gone. And you find her at this place where that she goes to the king and she says these words to him. She says, and when the king asked the woman, she told him her story. Say, there's more. There's more. I want you to know that it says that she got restored double for what she, and got paid back taxes and everything on the land that she had. But there's more to the story. There's more than where this came from. There's more to it than just the end. Sometimes people look at you and say, wow, man, look what you have. I want to know you. Sometimes people don't know what you've been through. I want you to know that this woman gained access into that room. Why? Because of where she's been through and what she has gone through in her life. She was not intimidated and she was not afraid because she knew that God was faithful. That she was able to get audience with the king. So let's take a look at this. And some of you might not even know that that's part of the story. See, we know this story. You know the story about the Shunammite woman where that, let me just read it to you. Amen. So I don't mess it up. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to the Shunammite, where was a great woman. Say great woman. God knows the end from the beginning. She's a great woman. Not only that, but I want you to see that she was a great woman in a sense where that she was a beautiful woman and she had money. She was well-to-do. But even at that place, there was something within her that she wanted something more. Amen? There was something within her. She wanted something more. They knew that there was something missing. And I want you to know that just like this, that sometimes we pass by. And sometimes I want you to let God pass by. But God just doesn't want to pass by. But He wants to have full access. Amen? He wants to have full access. So I want you to see here that this woman, she began to make up an opening. She began to make up excuses, not to get out of the presence of God, but to get into the presence of God. Amen? Sometimes we make up excuses. We need to learn to make excuses to be in the presence of God, to be where God is. And God is always with us, but be in a place where that we could come together and declare His name. Amen? So here He says this. He says, and she constrained him. That word constrained means to lay hold of. She grabbed hold of him. She grabbed hold of him. I want you to look at Elijah in a sense that you could see that he carried the presence of God. She was longing for that to be part of her story in her life. She was looking for something more. And not only that, but I want you to know that she was barren. Sometimes we think we got it all together. Sometimes we think things, you look at people, we think they all got it together. They have money, they have riches, they're beautiful. But I want you to know that everybody could be barren in some way. Because we don't know the full story of somebody's life. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So even though it looked like everything was great, she was longing for something more. I want you to know that that's within every one of us. And the only way that we feel that is we know that is in Christ Jesus. Come on, you're going to help me preach. And it says, and he constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, she turned to give him bread. She made him a casserole. She baked him some bread. She began to create moments. You're creating moments right here for God to have a story in your life. She took and sacrificed. She came to a place where that she set herself apart, that she could be a part of what God was doing. She set up the table. I want you to know that sometimes it's more than just passing by, but it's the taking the time to inviting God in, to setting up the table, to getting out the china, to making a place where that you're creating an atmosphere that you're saying, God, come, come, Lord Jesus, come. That our hearts begin to cry out that. That our hearts be at a place where that we're welcoming Him in. God, come, Lord Jesus, come. I need You in my life, God. I need You a part of this. Sometimes it's the little things. So she began to do that. And all of a sudden, she decided there was something more. I want you to know that the more God you get, the more you want. Come on. Listen, I want you to see this. And see, God never changes. And I said this to the young people. He never changes. And some of you have heard this, but He never changes. Tell your neighbor He never changes. He's the same always. But I want you to know what changes is your image of God. Your reality of who God is can change and it should change. Sometimes somewhere, sometimes in our lives, we get at a place where we get stuck in that place and our reality of God stays the same. It's like learning math. That every one of you learn math. And we thought we had it. I thought I was amazing at math when I learned my addition. And then they threw division in. And then they threw multiplication in. Are you kidding me? And then algebra. I want you to know it was still math. But my reality of math got bigger. Just like God wants to be bigger in our lives. And through every experience that we go through, He can become bigger with that opportunity in our lives. Just like right here, that this moment God became bigger. And she says, let's make Him a house. Let's make Him a room in our house. Let's make Him part of our daily living. She began to set up a place for Him. She began to go to Walmart, to Lowe's, and she got all this stuff that she set up these chairs. I don't know if they had Walmart. I don't know. But so she began to, maybe IKEA. That's more like it probably. So she set up the table and she set up a candle and she began to create this atmosphere. He was welcoming to say, come in. Sometimes we get in a place that we can look at ourselves and think that we are sometimes very welcoming to God. Sometimes we hold back from God. Sometimes we're not willing to be vulnerable. Sometimes we think we got this. But we need to be at the place we say, I need you. I need you every day. The more bigger I see God, the more I know I need Him more. The more that I want Him in my life. Part of every part of my breath. So she began to do this. And I want to try to make this, bring this into you as you can get this thing. So she started to do this. And in verse, as we go down and look, my page turns with that. So I got to hold this here. It says, and she began to make a little chamber. She goes, a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. And it shall be when He cometh to us that He will return. Wow. And it fell on the day that He came, and He turned into the chamber and laid there. He found rest there. And said to Gehazi, his servant, he called the Shunammite. He says, I want you to ask her. I want you to go to her and I want you to ask her what we can do, what I can do. She wasn't looking for that. Come on. I want you to know that she wasn't looking for something. She was looking for a favor. She wasn't looking for... It was more about Him. She wanted His presence in the midst. Sometimes we do when we're supposed to go to God when we're in trouble. But I want you to know that you're building a story. You're building scenes in your life when you go to Him. Whenever it isn't travesty. Come on, we learn to go to God. We begin to create a story. And we know how to go to God in the midst of pressure and things that go wrong in our lives. So as she began to do this, she began to build this place for Him. It says, and as he asked, He says, go to her and ask her. Tell her to come. He says, and ask her, what can we do for her? And she said, I don't need anything. She goes, well, can I give a word to the king for you? She goes, no, I don't need any favors. I don't need anything like that. He says, there's more. And He knew that she was barren. And He said to her, she goes, and within 1 year, you will have a child. I want you to know that she created a moment in her life right then and there. Something was happening. She was creating this moment. And I want you to see that as it went on, she had the child and she was overwhelmed by this. But the next thing that happened was a tragedy. I want you to know that God wants to be in the midst of your storm. Come on, amen. God wants to be, because we all go through that. We don't all like that, but we do go through that. We go through things in our lives that are bigger than us. And how do I handle these things? This is how we handle it. And as he went to her, he asked that she had this child. Now she has this child. Little did she know, but her child grew up. And eventually he came to a place where he was out in the field with the father. And he fell and he hit his head. And he cried out to his dad. And this is what dads do. Take him to her mother. I remember when my daughter busted her arm and it was like this. I began to gag. This is bigger than me. She's telling me, I think it's okay. I don't know if you see it on my face, but no, honey, it's not okay. This is beyond daddy. This is beyond band-aids. This is bigger than that. You need your mommy. And she came to the door and I said, Kelly? Kelly, I needed the big guns for this. And as she took care of both of us, because I was no good. But at those moments, that moment right there, I want you to see that. It says that I want you to just get this. And they brought the child to her and it laid on his, and the child died. He knows the end from the beginning. I want you to know that that child died. But I want you to see something. I want you to know that she wasn't preparing for the worst. But I want you to know she served a God that can handle the worst. And here's the thing. And as she began to cry, to hold on to that baby, that when the child died, she took the child. You know where she took him? Up to where the bed that she provided for the man of God. Come on, I want you to hear this. I want you to see this. And she laid him on the bed. She had somewhere to go. Come on, amen. But she knew that this could not be the story. She knew that this was only a scene to the whole thing, because she served a God that was greater than this. That she knew that her God in the midst could rise the dead and caused them to be alive. So what did she do? It says that she began to give. I got to read it because I love the way that it's phrased there, because this is a woman that would not be held back. We need to live our lives with no restraints that say, I got to get to God more than anything else. I don't have to try to find it. Well, I'm going through this trouble and I'm trying to get this for God. You need to go to God. We need to build a place for God. We say, God, Lord, more than anything else, I need you. More than what I'm crying out for. She didn't say, I'm barren and I need to have a child, then I'll build you. No, she built God a house, a place. And she said, in the midst of it, God touched her in the midst of it. So here she goes. She began to go. Are you okay? I got this. 10 minutes. Come up here. All right. You time me. You be my timer. And she called unto her husband. She said, send me, I pray thee, one of your young men and one of the donkeys. I'm not going to say it. It's a bad word, but it's in the Bible here. And that I may run to the man of God, that I might run. Say that I might run. It says that I might run to the man of God. Listen, I want you to know that sometimes not everybody will run with you. But you don't be determined by anybody else. You run with God. Don't let nobody dictate your story. Don't let nobody determine your story. But God. And you. Don't let nobody define you. No scene in the midst of it. She could have bailed out. She could have gave up. But she ran to God. And it says that as she began to go, it says the man that was with her was going. And he says, and he was in front of her. And he looked back and said, well, maybe I should slow down. She says, don't worry. Don't wait for me. He says, let's get there. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. You need to go. I want you to see here that even young man right then and there was becoming part of a story that was going to blow his mind. God's looking for opportunities in your life. Moments. Kairos moments in your life that He can show you. And through your life, He could show others what He's all about. It says, and as they went, He says, and as she went there, it says that she ran into the to where he was. He says, she knows it's just a scene. She didn't slow down. And then verse 26, she says this. He says, and run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, it is well. Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your with you? Is it well with your... What does she say? I want you to hear this and know that it says, the scripture in Romans 8:28 says, in season and out of season, no matter what it's like, He's still in control. That we need to be at a place where that no matter what's going on, it is well. That song was written to declare in the midst of turmoil, it is well with my soul. Something about that. In the midst of your storms, it is well. See, Jesus wanted His disciples to get a hold of it. In the midst of the storm, that within Him, it is well. Even though everything else around, it was just a scene and a story to glorify God. So as it went there, she said, it is well. Even though it seemed like it wasn't. Even though it wasn't well. But she knew it was well with God. That it was just part of the story. Just part of it. Come on, tell someone just part of it. That's in 2 Timothy 4:2, sorry. It says in... I wrote this down, Romans 8:28. And this is a scripture that I know that some of you struggle with. I know because I've been asked this, I've been told this scripture. Can you look that up for me? You know what it says. You ready? You know what it is. All things, say all things. Not some things. And we know that all things, come on, amen, all things, every one of your scenes in your life, come on, it's just a scene, because all things work together for good for them that love God, that have invited Him into their house, that have made a way, come on, amen, that has set up a place for God to abide, amen, to make room for God in the midst, those that love God and that are called according to His purpose. I want you to know, do you know what His purpose is? Some people say, I want want to find the will of God. Do you know what it is? I'm going to say this, and I don't know if it's your theology, but I'm going to tell you what it is, because I know it's mine. Is that you know what God's will is? You. You are His will. That He has you. That's why. For God so loved the world that He gave His only... That was His will, that He can have you. That He can have open access. That you can be part together of His story. That you can make your life part of His story. Oh, I want you to know that I want to carry on a conversation with God and say, God, He says, hey, do you remember? When I stand before Him, He says, Chris, do you remember that time in the midst of that moment where you thought you were going to die, where you thought you in that accident, you went to the windshield. Do you remember that moment? Come on, amen. Do you remember that moment? Come on, making Him part of our story. So He says, and as they went, He says, and He went to the place, He says, and Elisha came to her and went and he found it. And let me say this, that he went there and he laid upon the bed with the child. And he breathed in his life, fully encountering her problem. She had full access to her burden given to the man of God. Full access. She released it, said, here it is. And as he came forth out, they brought in the son. He sneezed 7 times that he breathed life into him. And he walked down the stairs. I want you to know that something God was adding to her story. God was adding to her story at that moment. And I want you to know that every one of those things began to happen. But it was beginning to bring to a place that was coming to this end. And as we talked from the beginning, that they came to a place where that there was famine in the land. And because of her connection with God, that Elisha came to her. Why? Because the door was open. Lord, I need to hear this. Amen. And God spoke to her and says that you need to get out of this land. Just leave everything behind. But everything here, God, no. Just leave everything behind. I got you covered. Because it was just part of the scene. As she left, she went, when she came back, I said before, everything she owned, everything she worked for was gone, even that place where she provided. I want you to know that God wanted to give her a bigger place. Come on, amen. God wanted to open her up to a bigger place. And as we end here, as we're almost done, that you could see here and you could look at this yourself, but it doesn't end with the four. It's just part of the scene, because in chapter 8, it begins to declare something. Are you ready for this? And it says, in the Elisha, he says, he spoke to her, and it came to pass that 7 years, say 7 years. 7 years that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth, and she cried unto the king, and she went unto the king for her house and for her land. She went for what she knew was hers. And it says, and the king talked with Gehazi. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to know that God's involved in the scenes greater than what you know. Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, was talking to the king. And the king began to tell him, tell me some more about what Elijah has done. Let me know the story of Elijah. And the first story that she began to talk about was a Shunammite woman. And as he's giving this glory to God for what happened, He's telling him, the king, that he raised his son, her son, from the grave. And as she's telling the story, only God could do this. Come on, amen. Only God could do this. As she was telling the story, at that moment, he looked, and here comes the Shunammite woman and the son walking in the room. And I tell you what, I bet you he just looked and was knocked over by it. He looked out, and here is that woman and her son. And he says, this is her. And that woman was so amazed. There's more to the story. Because then he said to her, he says, for everything that you've been through, you will be rewarded. And for all the years that you weren't there, you'll be paid for it. Tell someone God's good. Come on, praise team. Listen to this. Luke 22. Are you okay? You know this scripture, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat." I want you to hear this and understand something, that this is powerful to me, because something happened at this moment. He was saying to him, he says, Satan desires to end your story. He desires to determine the story that I've predestined for your life. I want you to be aware of it. He says that he wants to try to take you out. He wants to get you out. He wants to remove you from the full story that I have for you, that I'm involved with. Don't let him get involved. Don't let him write your story. Don't let your problems, don't let the things that have happened in our lives define our story. See, the enemy wants to get you out of there. Why? Because you've got a story to tell. You've got a testimony that nobody else has. You've got a testimony of God, who He is to you, that could change a generation, that the next generation needs to hear. They need to hear your passion for God. They need to see your love for Him and your desire for Him. And it says, and he says that I might sift you. He says, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. I've wrote a story, hallelujah, that you're part of with me. I've wrote a story about your life that you're involved with me. And he began to say, he says, but I pray that your faith doesn't fail you, that your story doesn't end. I'm praying that your story, because I know how it ends. We get the victory. Come on, amen. I want you to know that he's going to try to whisper in your ear, it's over, the scene's over, when it's dark, when it looks hard, whenever the stone's rolled in front of that grave, when you see me on that cross, it's just a scene in the story, because I'm God. Hallelujah. I'm bigger than the scene. I'm the whole story. And I want you to be involved. I want you to be involved. And he began to say, I'll never fail you. He says, no, Peter, you will fail me. But it's just a scene in the story. It's a scene, because you're going to be better out of the midst of it. Don't let that disrupt you, even though you might have failed, even though something has disrupted it. I want you to know that there's some people here that have been wounded. Oh, would you stand with me? Some of you have been wounded. Some of you have trusted people. Some of you have been in places in your lives. I want you to know that it's for the glory of God if you let it. Come on, amen. Don't let that define you. Don't let it find you. Sometimes we invest so much at a certain time or a place, and then we think it's gone. I want you to know, it's just a scene to the story. Just a scene to the story. I want you to know, you just haven't got to the mountaintop yet. And as you walk with God, He's going to change your scenery. He's going to change moments for you as you get to the top. And you'll see who's in charge. You'll see that He's God. I want you to see the most powerful thing is when that woman came and she brought to Him that fragrance. I want you to get this. She brought that perfume. And she says, I got to be in the midst. I want to be part of the story. And as she came into that place, even the disciples that were there tried to define it by the scene. But it was more than that. And as she broke that box, and as she began to pour it upon Christ. Oh, I want you to know, this is your life. Come on. I want you to know that this is our lives. That broken box offered to God is our life. Because as He dumped it upon her, He looked at her. He looked at those ones that are there that were defining the scene, that didn't know the whole story. They didn't know where she came from. They didn't know the heartbreak. They didn't know the wounds. They didn't know the pain that she's went through. And she met her Savior. Hallelujah. And she says, I'm going to be part of this resurrection story. And she took it and she poured the oil upon Him. And He looked at her and the disciples. And she says, wherever the gospel is preached, right here tonight, wherever it's preached, your story will be told. Because she joined, when she poured that upon Him, she joined her story with His story. And she goes, I want you to know, generation after generation will know your story. Why? Because you serve the God that's eternal. Your story becomes my story. Come on, your story becomes my story. And your life gives me glory. gives me praise, hallelujah, out of your brokenness and your pain. It's just the scene. Come on. It's just the scene. It ain't the whole story. Come on, I want us as we... He wrote this. He said, did this song. He did this song tonight. I didn't know he was doing it, but I felt it in my spirit. I pray tonight that it just moves you. It moves you. Because I want you to know. Woo, hallelujah. It's just a scene. It's not the whole story. I know what some of you have been through. I know where you've been. But God's got the whole story. And I'm in His hands. It's your will. It's your will. You sent your Son to die that we could have you with no walls, no separation, that we could walk with you and talk with you, that you could be part of every part of our very being. Lord, I thank you. I pray to God, Lord, that we keep our arms wide open and we experience you greater tomorrow and greater the next day and the day after that than we did yesterday. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And we will declare that we are. In Jesus' name. Come on, give somebody a hug. I think we got some snacks downstairs. Bless somebody. Give somebody a hug. Let's congratulate the graduates. Come on, amen. Congratulate the graduates. That's what it is. Amen. Yes, Lord.